Well, welcome again and happy Easter, everybody. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we gather here today in celebration of what you did for us, Lord, on that cross, and in celebration of your rising from the dead, Lord, ascending into heaven, Lord, and what that means for us. My prayer, Lord, is that that as many people as possible would come to hear this gospel message and would come to know you, Lord, and have a relationship with you, Lord, and experience all the freedom and strength that comes from that relationship. Lord, I just pray that you give me strength, Lord, and help me, Lord, to preach these words in all accuracy and truth. To you, Lord, be all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a long day already, huh? And it's barely even, it's not even 10 o'clock yet. Well, last Sunday, as we know, represented the beginning of Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday today. And it's kind of an interesting thing if you ever sit down and look in the Gospels to see like what portion of the Gospels focuses on just this last week of Jesus' life. One-third of the combined narratives from all three Gospels, one-third of it describes this last week. In fact, I was using a lot of scripture verses from the Gospel of John, and I kind of happened to notice, the Gospel of John, like almost half the book seems to cover just this last week because there's just so much going on there. Beginning with Palm Sunday in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. It says, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him.'" The crowd that had been with Jesus when Jesus had called and raised Lazarus from the tomb, that they were all going around and giving eyewitness accounts. It was because they had spread the word of this latest sign that this crowd that was continuing to follow Jesus had swelled. The Pharisees took one look and threw up their hands. It's out of control. I mean, these Pharisees, they're trying to do everything that they could stomp out what Jesus is trying to do. And despite all their attempts to stop this, the crowd continued to gather. On Saturday, the day before Palm Sunday, Jesus was in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus was their honored guest. The family had prepared a feast in his honor. During the feast, Mary anointed Jesus with a jar of perfume. If you remember that, one of the disciples was kind of freaking out because she dumped like a whole jar of perfume on his head. Well, what you might not know is that was 300 wages worth, days' wages worth of perfume. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine I want to know what a cologne smells like that costs about a year's worth of salary. I bet that would smell pretty good. The raising of Lazarus made a great impact on the city of Bethany and the surrounding area. And eyewitnesses of the raising of Lazarus spread the word about Jesus, and the crowd gathered to lead him to Jerusalem to set up his kingly reign. As the crowd paraded into Jerusalem, they were ready to crown Jesus as their king right there in Jerusalem. They were expecting the Messiah to set up his earthly kingdom right away. But Jesus did not do what they were expecting him to do. They thought surely Jesus would set up an earthly reign and bring peace on earth at last. As they entered Jerusalem, the large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The acts of Jesus following the triumphal entry into Jerusalem certainly must have surprised the people. On Monday, Jesus cleansed the temple. On Tuesday, Jesus gave teachings and parables describing the kingdom of God. On Wednesday, Jesus spent a quiet day in Bethany. On Thursday, preparation was made for Passover and the Lord's Supper in the upper room. And then on Friday, Jesus was brought before the Jewish authorities and stood trial before them for blasphemy, for claiming to be the Messiah. But the Jewish authorities, having no authority to put anyone to death, they had to bring him before the Roman authorities. They brought him before Pontius Pilate in order to have him put to death. John chapter 18 records this interesting interaction between Jesus and Pontius Pilate in verses 33 through 40. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" And the crowd cried out, "Not this man, Barnabas." And Barnabas was a robber. You know, what I've always found most striking in this passage is Pilate's reaction to Jesus' words when Pilate said, "What is truth?" Many people ask that question today. Many people have been asking that question since Pilate uttered them. What is truth? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? How did everything in the universe come into being? Is there really a God? And if so, who is he? The Bible teaches us that God created all that exists: the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and all its plants and trees and animals, and the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. God walked with man in the Garden of Eden. And then came the fall. Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, and this created distance between man and God. Mankind turned from God and turned towards false religions. It's amazing how quickly mankind turned from God, from the point where Adam and Eve were actually walking with him in the garden. Mankind became filled with so much evil that no one could possibly know God unless God himself reached out to them. Though mankind made up all sorts of religions and all sorts of false gods, the real and true God could not be known or found by them. As it says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery marks their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. You could certainly look around the world today, and that seems like a very good description of what we see. Due to this fall, all of mankind was doomed, never able to know God and never able to reconcile themselves to Him. It was for this reason that God Himself reached out to many who we refer to as prophets. God revealed Himself to them and called upon them to reveal Himself to others. And as wicked as mankind was, what did they do? They mocked the prophets. They had them killed. God spoke of one whom He would send to bring about redemption. The Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. Then causing Mary to bear a child by His Holy Spirit, He sent Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, we get an amazing description of who Jesus is, where it says the following. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The very Jesus who is sent was the one who created everything that exists. The one who walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He was with God and was God. He was Word made flesh. And He came to reconcile mankind to Himself, to those who would believe in Him. How do you view Jesus? Some say today He's just a wise man. Some say He was just a prophet. However, the Bible reveals Him to us as God in the flesh. Good Friday is good because it's all about Jesus completing His earthly mission of reconciliation. On Good Friday, Jesus was condemned and crucified. John 19, verses 16 through 22 say, "They took Jesus away, carrying the cross. Jesus went out to the place called Skull Hill." The name in Hebrew is Golgotha, where they crucified Him. And with Him two others, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. Pilate wrote a sign, and it had it placed on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." It's funny because He was from Bethlehem, but He wrote Jesus the Nazarene. Many of the Jews read the sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was right next to the city. It was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Hebrew was the language of Israel, Latin the language of the Romans in law and government, and Greek the language of Greece, the language of culture. The Jewish high priest objected, "Don't write that," they said to Pilate, "the King of the Jews. Make it, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate said, "What I have written, I've written." Jesus told His disciples several times that His mission was to suffer and die for the sins of the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says that Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross. Jesus came in obedience to the plan of God. Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." Jesus came to provide salvation for all who will believe. Jesus came in self-renunciation. He did not exalt Himself. He came as a suffering servant. The prophet Isaiah described the mission of Jesus in chapter 53, verses 2 through 3. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. Like one whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Every agonizing step that Jesus took, carrying the cross from the Praetorium to Golgotha on the road of sorrows, was for you and me. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We can call this dark day in human history good because we know the significance and meaning of the cross. I only say dark day in the sense that it's amazing that the one who made the very world and all the people in it, that he came into this world and on that day they killed him. We also know what happened 2 days later on the first day of the week, Resurrection Sunday, which we celebrate today. Jesus started his public ministry with the introduction by John the Baptist in John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, where it says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sakes, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Before Jesus, the Jewish people sought forgiveness through sacrifices, and they would sacrifice a lamb without blemish. The person confessing sin would put their hands on the head of the lamb, and the shedding of the blood of the lamb, they felt, gave forgiveness of sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 states, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And this goes right back to the Garden of Eden in the fall. When Adam and Eve were warned by God, he warned them, do not eat of the fruit of that tree. Right? He warned them that they would surely die. Meaning that if you disobeyed God and you sinned, there was only one way to reconcile that, and that was with blood. The shedding of blood. Jesus on the cross became the Lamb of God, a sacrifice for our sins. When you admit to God that you have sinned against him and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus on the cross brings forgiveness and a new life in and through Jesus Christ. While Jesus hung on the cross, he bore the penalty for our sins. And when he gave himself up to die on the cross, the penalty for our sins was paid. Jesus ransomed us from the penalty of sin that we deserve by suffering it himself. Some of you might be familiar with the hymn, Nearer, my God, to thee, showing that our own cross and trials bring us nearer to God. And there's also a hymn that we sing, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, which depicts the cross of Christ being celebrated. But the true message of the cross is revealed when we sing, When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss, and I pour contempt on all my pride. In that hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross, we realize that it was no mere man who died on the cross. It was Jesus Christ, Lord and God, taking our sins upon himself. If the blood of one man can only pay for the sins of one man, the blood of Jesus Christ was infinitely powerful and valuable to pay for all sins, for all people, for anyone who would put their faith in him. The Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. And then in John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Therefore, if you have heard this message today and something in you is telling you that this is the truth, then that is because the Father himself is individually drawing you to Jesus to believe in him. God wants you to know him. It's impossible for man to know God without God reaching out to us to draw him, to draw us to himself. He wants you to know the truth. He wants a relationship with you. And the question is, how will you respond as you feel God pulling you towards him? So, what of Easter Day? And why do we celebrate it? It was on the third day after Jesus' death and burial that he rose from the dead. There are many faiths. Well, there are many religions in the world that all have all sorts of views on how to know God or how to get to heaven. You know, there's something in common with every religion in the world except Christianity. Every single religion in the world teaches works. If you've done wrong, then you have to do good. And if you do enough good, then that will redeem the bad that you've done. Every single religion in the world, in some way, shape, or form, teaches that humans have the power to redeem themselves. Except Christianity. The Bible is the only message that we have. Well, first of all, that's true, that's from the Lord. And in that message, what does that message say? Man cannot redeem himself. Only God can redeem man. The story about Jesus did not end in a tomb. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6 says, When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him?" While Good Friday was a celebration of the day that Jesus paid the penalty of our sin, Easter Day is a celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. And why that is so significant is that since Jesus arose from the dead, so will we also arise. Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he went up and ascended into heaven. Whoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their sins have been paid, and they have been reconciled with God so that they can know him and have a relationship with him. He's no longer distant. He is now near to those who believe. And as Christ arose, one day we will also rise with him and be with him forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord, that though all of mankind had sinned and turned from you, Lord, and refused to seek you, Lord, that it was all part of your plan to reach out to us, Lord. You've done everything. We thank you, Lord, for coming into this world, Lord, and putting up with all of the mockery, Lord, and the persecution and the affliction, Lord. For being willing to lay your life down on the cross for us, for redeeming us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, I just pray that this message, that this gospel would go out to everyone, that everyone would hear it, Lord, and that many would be drawn to faith in you, to experience a relationship with you, Lord, and to be able to look upon you, Lord, for eternity and see your glory and serve you. To you, Lord, be all glory, praise, and honor, majesty, power, and dominion forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.